Curious Vedant, and welcome to season 6 of my podcast. Today, my guest is Uday Pilani, who is a hotelier and businessman, is on various committees and boards across countries, a Rotarian, and a professional rally and autocross driver. Hi, Uday. Welcome to my show.
Hi, Vedant. Great to be here and very happy to see what you're doing and very excited about this show.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on my show too. I really love cars and car racing.
That's excellent. I mean, we all grow up loving and or being passionate about something. And I was also, when I was at your age, very passionate about cars and car racing. And I would have all kind of information that I would try and secure. And at that time, there was no internet. So we would collect a lot of cards, which had car details printed on them, and I virtually would have memorized maybe hundreds of car models.
Yeah, I really like McLarens.
Of course. I mean, they're a great team, one of the best in the world. And it takes a lot to be a team like that.
So, I'm curious to know, what is rally and autocross? How different are they from normal racing?
So, rallies are events for cars, bikes, or any other motor vehicles, if you were to call, which go over long distances. And there are different types of rallies. The competitive rallies that we hear about are basically events where you block off a certain section of a road, which could be 10, 20, 30 kilometers from traffic or from public. And on that section of the road, the cars go all out. And the fastest times and the times are recorded. And then they go from that section, that is called the special section or special stage, SS. And from that one special stage to the next special section, the distance the car travels at a very slow speed because there could be traffic on it. And that is called the transport sector. So basically, a rally would have about 8 special stages. It would be between 125 to 140 kilometers. And whoever does all those 8 stages at the least possible time wins the rally. So it is spread over 2 days, and then you've got an extra day where you can do recce. Recce is when you go out in a normal car, but on the route that you're going to drive your rally car, and you mark out your pace notes. So you actually have a navigator who sits next to you, and you have marked out the pace notes, which is you kind of write down how do you see the road? How are you going to take the turns? How are you going to speed up the car? How are you going to do whatever you have to do to come fastest? Autocross, on the other hand, is within a stadium-like setup, similar to what you see in the Grand Prix. But Grand Prix is on tarmac, which is a hard road made with bitumen. And autocross is on a gravel track inside a stadium. So cars go round and in various difficulties of turns. And again, whoever is the fastest, he wins. So autocross is within the stadium in a track that is specially laid out with a lot of turns and curves and stuff like that. Whereas rally is on your gravel roads or tarmac roads over longer distances.
So rallying isn't that different from an F1 street race, is it?
Oh, no, it's much more. Rally is the most difficult type of motor racing that there is. So F1 street race happens on proper tarmac roads, right? The roads don't have bumps. They are quite clearly marked. They've got high level of grip because of the bitumen surface. Rallies, on the other hand, are mostly held on gravel roads where there is no road surface. So there's a lot of loose stone, sand. And when the cars are going on that kind of surface at a very high speed, the cars tend to lose grip. And that is where the skill of the driver comes in to prevent the car from overturning or losing grip and going off the road and crashing himself while maintaining the speed.
Oh, wow, that's really, really, really interesting. I had no idea that rallying was like that. I thought it was like an F1 street race, but like a little more twisty and turny.
No. Rally is an extremely difficult sport. So they would choose a track that would possibly never have more than 300 to 400 meters of a straight lap. And it would always be lot of turns, sharp turns, various degrees of turns. And if there are no turns, they would create some turns in it by using a bulldozer and a grader, and they would loop a road or something. So the more the number of turns you have on a gravel track, the more is your chances of your car skidding. And that is where the skill of the driver is to keep the car from skidding, keep it on the road, and keep it fast.
Okay. And autocross is a bit like NASCAR, right? Like all around in the
NASCAR and Formula One. NASCAR is just a circular circuit. It's the easiest of the racing. So you just need to get your line right. You need to get your braking point right. And you can go all out, right? And you keep doing that all day. So there's nothing more than that. Now, Formula One becomes a little more difficult than NASCAR because they do have those turns and various degrees of climbs, drops, whatever, but still on a flat surface. But in autocross, it is again a gravel surface. So the grip is not there, right? And it is various kind of loops and stuff like that where your car tends to skid. And they're very sharp turns, extremely sharp, where you have to use the handbrake to make the car turn at a single point and take on the road, whichever ahead. So these are the different degrees of difficulties and different types of racing. So autocross is quite difficult, actually.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool. I actually had no idea what autocross and rally were. I thought they were just different types of like Formula One or NASCAR kind of races. But now I know like there's completely different things.
Yes, absolutely. And they're quite, they're a lot of fun. So autocross is something you can start racing when you're 16. But what you can start doing is start getting to a go-karting track. And by the time you're 12, 13, you can start competing in go-karting. And that's a great way to start doing all this. Because then you start to learn how the vehicle moves, what happens when you turn it at high speeds, how do you control the vehicle, what is the braking point, which is the line you got to take. So all those skills you acquire before you start doing autocross or rally in a really big car.
Okay, wow. Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, go-karting, I've heard of like, I've done go-karting and it's really fun.
Yes, it is great fun. Even I do go-karting at times.
Yeah. When I was like really little, like I think 3 or 4 years old, I'd gone to a go-karting track when I was in India. And like, I was so scared, I remember. But then now, like just I think a month ago or something, I was again in India and I went to another go-karting track. And I wasn't that scared at all.
Yes. So the more you practice what we call seat time, the number of hours or minutes that you spend on the seat of a car is better you become. So whenever you get an opportunity, do go out to a go-karting track and run as many laps as you can. And over a period of time, you'll start to become a very good driver.
Yeah. In Singapore, there's not that many like actual go-kart tracks, and like we haven't found one, but there is like Luge.
Try that. And Malaysia is not very far, so if you have a long weekend and if your parents are up to it, you can do a driving trip, right? And you can just drive down into Malaysia, and there's a lot of go-karting tracks, there's a lot of rally tracks and all those kind of things, autocross tracks in Malaysia.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes,
it's
a big country in terms of rallying and motorsports. They're very passionate about it.
Yeah, I'll ask my parents to take me.
You should do that.
Do you need any special kind of mods in rallying cars, or are they just normal 4x4 road vehicles?
Yeah, so in a professional rally like the national championship which I run, the cars have to be modified in terms of their safety. So we have what we call a roll cage inside the car. These are basically steel beams which are put all over the car, and it's like a cage. You're sitting inside a cage so that even if the car overturns or crashes or whatever, you are safe. The roof does not collapse on you, or the side panels don't collapse on you. So that is a compulsory thing. And then what you also need is rally seats. These are special seats which have got what you call 6-point seat belts. So basically, the seat belts come from top of you, from the side of you, and from your bottom of you, from the groin, and they connect at the stomach level. So you're strapped in very, very tight into the seat, so that if your car somersaults or does something like that, and which it does in a rally situation, you are safe. Apart from that, there are special rally helmets and a rally suit. A rally suit can withstand fire for 6 minutes. So it gives you protection from fire. So suppose your car overturns and catches fire, a rally suit will protect you for 6 minutes. That is the time you get to break out of the car and come out, you know, safely. So all these things are very important and compulsory in a rally. Autocross you can do in your normal home vehicle. That's not a problem. But there are different levels of autocross. So you've got the level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. The level 2 and level 1, you would need something like a rally car where you have the roll cage. But level 3 and level 4, you can take part in your regular car.
Won't you need like special grip kind of tires?
Need a special kind of?
Grip tires?
Oh, yes, of course. Tires are very important. So, if you're doing a gravel rally, you get knobby tires. The tires have got knobs on them. And they tend to grip better on a gravel surface, loose sand surface. If you're doing a rally on a proper road, then you need tarmac tires, which help you to go fast on the tarmac tires. And you always have to be careful about the tires you use. If you cannot use a gravel tire on a tarmac, it just won't give you any grip, while it gives you a lot of grip on the loose sand. So that's tire technology. And likewise, you cannot use a tarmac tire on gravel. You just won't have any grip. So tires are very important.
Yeah, because I've seen in F1, like the tires, they're like really smooth on the outside. They don't have any bumps or anything. They're like super smooth. I think that gives them lots of grip, right?
Yes, but in that also, you have three types of tires for the F1. You have, that is the different compounds of rubber that you use, or the quantity of rubber versus the chemical that you use, that gives you different degrees of grip. So it depends what the road surface is, what the weather is, whether it's going to rain or it's slushy or wet. And accordingly, you change the grip levels of the tires. So when you go into motorsport at that extreme level, every small thing counts. And so in Formula One, you have the different compounds in the tire, which gives you different kinds of grips and different type of surfaces.
But they're all still like, they're really flat.
Oh, yes, they're really flat. But if you see the wet tires in Formula One.
Yeah, they have grip.
Yeah, they have the lines in them, right?
Yeah. If during a rally race, your car breaks down, do you have a pit crew always with you?
Yes, there is a 15 to 20 member pit crew that is there in the rally with you. Without them, you really can't function. You're not allowed to put any external help during a special stage. So you remember I told you there are sections which are blocked for traffic and you go all out in those sections. If you break down in those sections, your crew cannot come and help you, but you can help yourself. So if your car breaks down, you can fix the car and finish the stage. It is only after the special stage is finished that you're allowed to go to your pit, where the pit crew is there, and fix whatever you have broken. But if you break down during the special stage, the driver and the navigator have to fix the car themselves. They cannot use any external help. So all drivers and navigators would have a fair sense of understanding of how the car works and should be able to fix the car themselves.
Have you ever encountered any situations when your car is broken down in the special section?
Yes. In fact, in the Asia Pacific Rally, we came around a very sharp hairpin, and it was very slushy, very slippery, and there was already another car that had crashed and was blocking half of the road. And I just saw it at the last moment. So I turned my car onto the left side, and I pulled my handbrake so that my car can spin out and avoid that car. So my front avoided that car, but my back, while turning, hit that car very hard. And it broke my rear beam and my bumper from the rear. But the stage was about to finish. So even with a broken beam and bumper, my car was running, but it was very difficult to control because the beam being broken or bent, it was throwing the car in a different direction. But somehow we managed to finish it. And then after we finished the special stage, we managed to fix the bumper and managed to limp back to the pit crew where they changed the beam, of course.
That's good. Imagine if that was right at the start of the special stage.
Oh, yeah. So a lot of times in rallies, and that is where rallies become so much more challenging, is that if you have you may have done extremely well in the 6 stages out of the 8, you may be coming first, and then a small thing happens and your car breaks down and you lose all that advantage that you've gained over the last day and a half. And yeah, so that's what makes rallies so difficult, that you need to maintain your car and you need to be fast. So that's even more challenging, right?
Yeah. Because even if one beam breaks, then your car won't function properly.
Absolutely. So you got to maintain your car and go fast.
What got you interested in motorsports?
So my father used to be a racer and very interested in sports, motorsports and other kind of sports. And typically as a kid growing up, you see your parent racing or doing some activity. It is quite natural for you to aspire to be like your parent. And maybe that was the seed that was planted in me. And I love the adrenaline and the rush that comes out of extreme competition. And it's like we call a fix, like you get your sugar rushes, right? So I get my rush out of motorsports or extreme sports.
Yeah. Like whenever I watch F1, sometimes it's so close. And whenever a crash happens, you're like, in my opinion, the crash is the best part.
Yeah, they are very dramatic. So even in rallies, the spectators are always gathered at points where they know it's going to be very difficult and there could be some crashes. Nobody wants to see a car racing on a straight road, right? Everybody wants to see some drama and action.
Yeah. Whenever I see a crash, I'm like, ooh, that must hurt.
Yeah. And that's why now you got onboard cameras and F1 nowadays, if you're subscribing to them, if you're seeing the latest F1, you can do so many more things. Learn so many more things. So yeah. do subscribe to F1 and they give you a lot more functionality than before. And even in rallies, we do have our GoPro cameras, which are fitted so that we can review what we did after the race is over and also publish it on YouTube and other channels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the F1 app and they once in a while, they always put up put up reviews saying what was good in this race, what went wrong, and they explain all of the terms and stuff in F1.
Yes, they do. So similarly, rallying or any other sport which has a lot of public interest, people do come on board and they explain to you as to how it goes on, so other people can learn from it and enjoy from it.
How do you train to be a rally driver?
So like I said earlier, you got to train to be a driver first. And the best part, if you want to be competitive driving and you want to start early, you go to a go-kart track because they allow you as young as 8 to be on the go-kart track, right? And then rallying, you need to have a valid license. No rally in the world at no place will allow you to drive a car without a valid license. And generally, that age is 18. So by the time you're 18, if you have good experience in the go-kart, and then you start to drive a normal car on the normal road, you learn about that. And then it is all about seat time. So you need to apply yourself and drive as much as you can and into various road surfaces. And you generally start to learn on your own to a certain degree. And then when you want to get into specialized sport like a rally, of course, you need a trainer. You get trainers, you get rally schools, you attend rally schools. And they give you a lot of knowledge as to what to expect, how to do when you face a certain situation, so on and so forth. So I would recommend that you get your hands, dirty with a go-kart. And then when you're eligible to drive when you're 18, get your proper license, learn how to drive the proper car. and then go to a rally school, and the number of hours you put on a seat makes you better and better and better.
Yeah, and you also need really good reflexes for motor sports, right?
Absolutely. You got to be on top of it. So your mind-body coordination has to be excellent. And maybe you get a lot of that from playing video games. So yeah. Video games is not bad. It's actually your reflexes, if you're playing interactive games, do sharpen up, right? So
yeah,
and there are great games on rallying and F1 with a lot of simulators now and immersive experiences. So if you get hold of that, then you are half a rally driver yourself.
Yeah, I play F1 mobile.
Fantastic. So you now get setups where you have the seat, you have the pedals, you have the steering, and you are on a white screen, and you can actually compete, and there is no age bar. So you can actually, the e-sport of F1, you can actually compete sitting where you are and be a world champion.
Yeah. And I've also seen loads of motorsport drivers do like this reflex test where they have another person who has tennis balls in their hand, and that person randomly drops the tennis balls and the driver needs to catch it, right?
Yeah, correct. So those are reflex tests. But basically, you're not building skills there. There are things to show off, to show how good you are. Your reflexes are built in a different way. Your reflexes are built when you have a calmer mind. You don't take any intoxicants. You don't do any alcohol or nicotine or drugs. And you keep in good shape physically. You exercise a lot. You do run and lift weights and do all of that to keep all your nerves and your body function, your neurons very active. And that is what helps you build your reflexes, right? And a good driver would build on all this and keep his health good, not indulge in things that are bad, and improve on his reflex and motor skills. And that was what will then eventually help you when you're in the actual sport.
Yeah, I really want to be a motorsports driver when I grow up.
Yeah, you're most welcome.
Yeah, and
if
I don't get into motorsports, like some sort of sports.
You should always have a sport on. So I'm 51 and I've never stopped playing something or the other. And I always keep myself busy with one sport at a time. And right now it's rallying and shooting.
Yeah. Yeah, motorsports are really fun.
Yeah, they're easy for people like me. I can't go and play football, right? I'm not as young and energetic like you.
Yeah.
But in a motorsport, I can sit in a car and drive. So at least I can do that.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about the work you do?
So we are very diversified. We run palm oil plantations in West Africa. We run tech companies in US and UK and in India. We run hotels in UK and student accommodations and petrol pumps. So it's quite spread out and in different fields.
Wow. So rallying and autocross for you is a hobby?
Yes. Wow. It's a passion. You can't make money out of rallying and autocross, that I can assure you. So it always should be your passion and a hobby, but you should always have another something that gonna fund that hobby, right? So you need to have a proper career.
Yeah.
So it's very few drivers actually get enough money to make ends meet, get a sponsorship. It's very difficult to get. So you first concentrate on your career. And then when you have the money, or your father has a lot of money, then you get into motorsport. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like F1 where you get paid to like sit in a car.
Yeah, but to get to F1, you would have won the go-kart championship. You would have won the F3 championship. You would have won some touring car championship.
Yeah.
And then once you've won all of those, then some team should consider you to get into F1.
Yeah. So
during those championship and winnings, there's a lot of investment.
Yeah.
Because they don't pay you, right? So that's what I say. You get into go-karting. If nothing else, you'll have a great amount of fun. And you'll know where you stand with other kids and how good you are.
Yeah.
And one thing at a time.
You are also an active Rotarian. Can you share about any interesting projects that you have worked on?
Oh, we regularly work on projects and we always have a project ongoing all the time. So in a year, we do dozens of projects. Interesting project. We've had a lot of great projects we have done in West Africa, in Sub-Sahara, where there was one village which was perhaps one of the poorest in the world. And the problem that village had was they had no water. And women would trek 15, 20 kilometers to get a pot of water. So they had a very old tank which had dried up because nobody took care of it. And what we did was we dug up the tank. A tank is basically like a small lake or a pond.
Yeah.
And we dug up the ground so that whatever little rain that came, that would stay there. And we then lined that pond with rubber, you know, the EPDM. And by lining it, we prevented the water from being soaked into the ground. And we managed to collect enough water in that tank to feed the, supply the village with drinking water for the rest of the year. And then the women and children didn't have to walk long miles to fetch water. So I think that was a very interesting project that we did. And I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, it's so nice that you guys are making sure that people who live in poor places have food and water.
Yes, we do. We do teach them, give them skills how to earn a living rather than give them plain food. So like they say, we teach you how to fish. We don't give you fish to eat.
Yeah. You do so many interesting things. You do rally, you do autocross, you run an entire business which has like loads of things, and you're a Rotarian. What did you want to be as a child?
Well, I wanted to be a fighter pilot.
Wow.
Yeah, and I almost went there and I joined the academy, but I had some medical issues, so I couldn't fly anymore. So as a child, I think I saw Top Gun, you know, the movie.
Yeah. Top Gun.
Original one, yeah, when I was your age. And I got very excited about flying fighter planes. So I prepared and I qualified into the Air Force Academy. And I went there, yeah. So I think that was one of my early childhood dreams, was to become a fighter pilot.
Yeah, but now you're flying planes, but on the ground in the form of rally cars.
Of course, that is what I'm doing.
Yeah, so not too far away.
Not too far, not too far.
Yeah, I've watched both the Top Guns.
You watched both of them, right?
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you want to be?
I mean, like, I have loads of things. I want to be a car designer, but I also want to be an athlete. But I have no idea what to choose.
Yeah, yeah. I used to change. I mean, sometimes you change every 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Like ice cream flavor, yeah. So keep exploring everything. You're in that unique, wonderful space and time where knowledge is available to you, right? So with your free time, try and gain as much knowledge about different things rather than wasting it on something that doesn't add value. So all your free time you should use for gaining knowledge. And now it is available at your, like they say, fingertips, right? It's available on your phone, on your desktop.
Yeah.
So use that wisely and gain as much knowledge about different things and see what excites you and pursue that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going to do that. But still, I have to focus on my school now because I'm entering grade 5, but in Singapore, in my school, it's called year 6.
Fantastic. Do concentrate on studies and you will find them very useful. So excel in your studies and do concentrate. The curriculum is very thoughtfully designed. It will help you all your life. I can assure you that.
Yeah.
So never, I mean, get bothered that, okay, why am I solving this math question or why am I learning about chemistry? It will always help you in whatever you do, right? So even if I'm doing motor racing, the physics that I learned in class 10 maybe is helping me. The mathematics is helping me. The chemistry is helping me to understand tire compounds. The biology is helping me to understand G-forces and how they act on my body. So it always becomes very handy in whatever you do. So do pay attention to your studies and make sure you're at the top of the class, right?
Yeah. What are your hobbies? I mean, I know rally and autocross is your hobby, but do you like to do anything else?
Yeah. In my free time, I like to help people. So I always look out for projects that I can do with them where people who are not as privileged as me who are going through a rough patch or who need some intervention. So I spend all my free time trying to find out who are those people and how I can help.
Yeah, wow, that's really nice. That's really amazing. Yeah. And I also really like helping people. So when I grow up, one of the things I want to do is also like helping people in a way.
You should do that. It'll give you a lot of mental peace and it'll help you do your job better.
Thank you so much for coming on my show. I really learned a lot about everything that you do.
Fantastic. It's a great pleasure to be here and wish you all the best.
Dear listeners, follow my Facebook page, Curious Veda, to get updates on my upcoming episodes. To listen at leisure on your phone and get notified about future episodes, subscribe by searching for Curious Veda wherever you get your podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more. You can also listen to my show on curiousvedanta.com. Thank you for listening to Curious Vedanta. And don't forget to rate and leave a comment.